There is a magical time of year in a kid's life. A beautiful, wonderful time. A time when responsibilities largely end and a kid can just relax and be free to be a kid. And we call this time summer. When I was young, I used to look forward to summer vacation for months ahead of time. Don't get me wrong, I enjoyed school. I liked to learn, but there is something freeing about summer vacation. A time when you have several uninterrupted months of pure free time and bliss. At least, if you are a kid, that is. And especially in those last few weeks of school, it was impossible to focus on math or reading or science. After all, we were so close to being able to focus on being outside and running and playing. Any teachers out there know this from the other side of the equation? Trying desperately to keep a bunch of rowdy kids focused on those last few lessons, knowing that their gazes are not focused on you, but are rather cast out the window, knowing that their attentions are not on the history lesson you are trying to teach, but are rather firmly focused on their plan of the first thing that they are going to do when school lets out. Sound familiar? Yes, that transition was a magical time. The passing of the school year with its rules and structure into the summer when a kid can feel like they are the master of their own destiny. But when it finally did happen, it was really abrupt. One day you were in school sitting quietly at your desk, and then the next day you weren't. Especially being an only child, this was a strange shift. I went from seeing tons of kids every single day to all of a sudden being alone. And despite the fact that I always looked forward to the summer, this required quite the adjustment. You see, I have always done better in life when I have a busy calendar. And school gave that busyness to me. And suddenly being thrown into a world left to my own devices always took a few days to get over the shock. Sure, eventually I'd get over it and I would head outside to go bike riding with a friend or something like that. But those first few days were often, well, kind of a letdown. And it was only as I became an adult that I realized why. In my anticipation for the summer break, I had hyped it too much, sitting in class when I should have been paying attention to the teacher, but was instead planning what I was going to do from the moment that I got out of there. I had told myself that summer was not just a change of season, and it wasn't just a break from school, but it was going to be the best thing that had ever happened to me. I had placed it on a pedestal, believing that it was better than it ever could possibly be. And then, when I could wait in anticipation no longer, it finally came, and I would inevitably be initially disappointed. There was a rise in anticipation for the last few weeks of the school year, and then there was an initial crash of disappointment at that moment of transition from school into summer. A similar thing can happen in our church year. We spend all of Lent waiting for Easter. For that matter, I preached a sermon shortly after Christmas looking forward to the resurrection of Christ. So we spent several months waiting in anticipation for the Easter event, waiting for Jesus to rise from the grave. And especially in the last few weeks, as we were getting weary from the sins that we were carrying, we hyped Easter up. We could not wait for the resurrection of our Lord, especially in that last week. I mean, goodness, we had four services in as many days during Holy Week. But then on Easter morning it happened. Jesus rose from the dead, and it was over. We went from anticipating his resurrection to it being a past event in almost the blink of an eye. Like a child waiting for summer, one day we were anticipating it, and the next day it was present. We really didn't know what to do with ourselves. And that's where we are now. What do we do with ourselves? It's been a harrowing journey, but now that we are in the post-resurrection world, what happens next? For the last few weeks, I've been talking about our theological roller coaster. And last week, I said that we were on an emotional and theological high. Jesus had risen from the grave, and that meant that we never had to plummet back into the sin and despair that we had before his resurrection. Well, now, it is time to make that a reality. Jesus rose from the dead last week, and that means that our lives are different because it means that the world is different. The disciples faced a similar problem. They had spent several years following this guy from Galilee to Jerusalem and back, and that all climaxed with his resurrection. The emotional high must have been incredible. This truly was God's Son, risen from the grave to change the rules of reality and grant everlasting life to mortals. But what now? That very well may have been what they were trying to figure out as they met in hushed tones in the locked upper room. Of course, at this point in the story, the disciples don't know about the risen Christ, but I still like to imagine that they are trying to figure out what in the world they are supposed to do next. The death of their master has shaken them up quite a bit. But then, all of a sudden, the risen Lord is present in the room with them. And he breathes on them, granting them the Holy Spirit and sending them out into the world. He says to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." He even goes so far as to grant them the ability to forgive the sins of others. Surely this is linked, it must be linked to the proclamation of Jesus' death and resurrection. In other words, Jesus is charging his disciples to go out into the world and share the story of Jesus himself, his life, ministry, death, and resurrection. And that's exactly what we see happening in the Acts passage. We see the early church forming and creating a community so that they can do as Jesus commanded. What the disciples have realized is that they have new responsibilities now, and Jesus has risen, now that Jesus has risen from the dead. They are more than what they once were. Toward the end of January, we read the passage in which Jesus called some of his disciples. They were fishermen, and Jesus told them that he would make them fish for more than just fish. He would make them fish for people. They would go out and capture people with the good news of God. Their mission in this life would no longer simply be their careers or their livelihoods, but would be transformed into God's mission. And in the Acts passage, we see that finally fulfilled. This community that has risen up around the good news of the resurrection is the embodiment of that promise to make the disciples fishers of men. Verse 33 spells that out pretty clearly. It says that with great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. In the upper room, Jesus commanded them to share this news with others, and here we see them doing it. And when they did, grace was upon everybody. But that mission also caused them to do more than just preach Jesus' good news. The Acts passage also declares that they held their goods in common. Those that had need were provided for by those that were able to. This charity flowed as a natural extension of the good news that they taught. Jesus' sacrificial death and his powerful resurrection naturally led to the willingness not only to share that good news with others, but to provide for their physical needs as well. And this is what Jesus has in mind as he charges his disciples, saying, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And that is Jesus' command for us as well. I've been talking about roller coasters for a while now, about how our sin made us sink low, but through the power of Jesus' resurrection, he turned our roller coaster ride so that it would soar ever upward. That ride, which ascends toward heaven, also gives us new responsibilities. Like the disciples, Jesus commands us to go out and declare his good news to those around us, to share the love of Jesus Christ with the whole world. And that's not a suggestion. Jesus commands us to go out and care for his people's physical and spiritual needs. We now have the responsibility to share the Easter message with other people. When I was a kid, sitting in the classroom, waiting for summer to come, the thing that I looked forward to the most was simply sitting around doing nothing. Taking a break from the busyness of the school year and just relaxing and being a couch potato. But you know what? I would do that for the first couple of days of summer break, and I would be miserable. I really do better when I have a full schedule. So when I was really young, my parents would give me stuff to do, and when I was older, I would schedule my own stuff. But either way, I was much happier when I made myself get out and about. Either as a young kid heading out to the great outdoors with my friends, or as a teenager finding a job, I was much more fulfilled when my summer had meaning attached to it, when it involved doing something as opposed to simply existing. In the blink of an eye, we have moved from Lent into post-Easter. We are no longer as busy in our church stuff. We don't have the Lent services. We certainly don't have weeks like Holy Week when we had four church services. And it would be easy for us to simply sit back and become spirit passive in our Christianity. Now we can finally relax and become spiritual couch potatoes. The resurrection has happened. Easter is over. It's not as important that we make Sunday worship anymore. It's not as important that we talk about Jesus to our friends and family. It's not as important that we are charitable and give to the church or to a charity. Easter is over. It's time for us to finally spiritually relax. But we know that none of that is true. Now more than ever is the time to double down on those things. Now more than ever is the time to follow Jesus' command to go out into the world and make disciples. 1 John says that we only know that we are following Jesus if we obey his commands. Otherwise, we are liars. We have that upward momentum from Easter. We are on the right track. Let's continue it. Let's double down on our efforts to share the good news with others. Talk to people about Jesus. Show them his love by our actions. Let Easter not simply be the end of Lent, but instead let it inspire us to action. In many ways, this reminds me of how people treat New Year's with New Year's resolutions. Easter can and should be a new beginning for our spiritual lives. It should be a time when we decide not to be spiritual couch potatoes. It should be. It is a time for us to really focus on our efforts to follow Christ's example in all things, make resolutions for ourselves, to follow Jesus' command as He sends us into the world to spread His good news and to help those in need. Are we doing that? I would like each of you to think about one person that you know that doesn't go to church. Can you invite them? I'm not asking you to convert them or explain some grand theological treatise to them. Just invite them to come to church. Or invite them to come to a church event. We've got a potluck dinner on Thursday. See if they want to bring their family to that. And then I want you also to think about someone that you know that is in need. It doesn't have to be something huge. I'm not asking you to solve world hunger. Just think about someone that you know that needs something. Maybe even something as simple as a phone call or a hug. What if you were the person to reach out to them? These actions don't have to be huge. You don't need to go out and take a vow of poverty or stand on a street corner handing out religious tracts. You don't need to fight in a crusade or die on a cross. But Jesus' death and resurrection changes who we are. We were sinners and are now His emissaries. He sends us as His messengers into the world to do His will, spread His good news, and provide for His people. But first, we have to recognize that Easter isn't just the end of Lent. It is a new beginning for our spiritual journeys. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.